Thank you for tuning in to the Reunion Church radio program with our host, Pastor Richard Ellis. Reunion Church meets in the heart of Dallas, but the Reunion Church radio program wants to meet right now in your heart. We hear from so many of you of just how real the messages are and how they impact your daily life. And that's what it's all about, making a difference. We're not about filling up the airwaves without filling up your spiritual tank. Time and time again, your letters and calls let us know that you're listening and how much the program means to you, and we greatly appreciate that. So let's get right into today's message with our program host and friend, Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Good God Almighty. Kind of a phrase you hear through the years, and we'll try to break it apart a little bit in a minute. All right, turn to Matthew chapter 19. Let's jump in at verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, he's talking to Jesus, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? Didn't answer his question, says, why are you calling me good? No one is good but one, that is God. Now this is a very interesting thing that he says, no one is good but one. Because one of the answers that I get, well, the main answers, you know, say, oh, if you died, where would you go? I think to heaven, why? Well, I've tried to be what? A good person. But there is none righteous, the Bible says, no, not one. So no matter how hard you try to be good, no one is even good. It's not even about being perfect. No one's even good but God. And so he has this dialogue with this guy. Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Now this is before he died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead. And he said to him, well, which ones? Jesus said, you should not murder. So he rattles off these commandments. You should not murder. You should not commit adultery. You should not steal. You should not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Gives him a few of these. And the guy says, all these things I've kept from my youth. Okay, I'm good. I must be okay. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, now we're not talking about good. If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So the seemingly impossible is possible. Now let's take this little phrase, good God Almighty. He's good. Read you another verse in a minute about that. He's God, but he is not just any old God, which you say, well, how many gods are there? There are thousands of supposed gods around the world that people worship. Carve little statues, make something up, just create these gods that we worship. And then the last thing we're going to hit is that he is almighty. And what is the difference in that and just being a God, even if you say big G God? Go to James chapter 1, way to the right, right after Hebrews. If you find Hebrews, you're close. James 1, let's jump down to verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. If you've got something good going on in your life, I promise you it came from God. He is a good God. And I think I have a lot of conversations. People say, yeah, you say he's a good God, but why did my child die? Why did my mother get sick? Why have I got these problems? Why? If he's so good, what is all this about? You have to get to the place where you trust him. And I tell people, if you start with us, if you start with you and try to work your way to God, you will never make it. Because there's too many questions. You have to start with God and work your way down. And then you say, you know what? I don't get it. I don't see it. I do not understand how this can be good, how it can be right. But I know he's God, so I have to trust him because I got nowhere else to go. So I'm going to leave it alone. And the passage we read a minute ago, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So ask for the impossible. And if it doesn't happen, then you say, well, either maybe it had something to do with my lack of faith. But I think even if I have little faith, God can still do what he wants to do because he's almighty, as we'll see at the end of this. So at least ask. He is a good God and he does want the best for you more than anybody on the planet. You think your mama loves you? She's not God. Your dad loves you, cares about you? Not God. He will do whatever it takes. He does what is best for you, what is good for you. So this verse says, every good gift and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Now go to Genesis chapter 28, and then we're going to go left to right. Genesis 28. Let's do verse 1, just a few out of this chapter. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. And then verse 3, look at what he's described as. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. So this phrase, you'll, and we'll read a bunch of these, may God Almighty bless you. This is not, you people say, there's an old song, maybe old now, says, our God is an awesome God. Our God is not an awesome God. Our God is the awesome God. He's not one of the awesome gods. There is nobody like him. He is all powerful, almighty. You're not stopping him. And I'll give you some more verses on this. There are songs about this as well. There are names for God. You say, well, I thought he was just God. There are Old Testament names. El Shaddai is one of them. There's an old song with that little phrase in there. Old Amy Grant song. That is one of the names for God. And it means Almighty God, all-powerful God. So these words, when they would use them for God, that would conjure up these thoughts in people's brains and say, that's right, that's who he is. He is El Shaddai. He is God Almighty. And he is a good God Almighty. And you have to remember that, because you get in the middle of your stuff, your circumstances, your life, your challenges, and all you can see is what's in front of you, and there's no way this is going to work out. There's no way it's going to happen. You need to stop just seeing what you see and talk to a God who sees everything and can make anything happen that he wants to. He is not an all-musty God. He is an almighty God. Now, there are certain things that must happen because he is God, and it'll change his character for it to be near the way. But my little turn of the phrase here is, he is an almighty God. He might do it, and he might not. But you're not going to make him do anything. He might. You know how your kids ask you, or well, are we going to go there? The answer is, we might. Are we going to stop and get yogurt? We might. I didn't say yes. I didn't say no. I'm leaning towards no with the might. And I think they figure out that before long, that might is really a synonym for no, but we might. Go to Genesis 35, a few pages over. Now, it's one thing for him to be called this. In the last passage, may God Almighty bless you. That's one thing. But look at Genesis 35. Same characters here. Jacob is in this story. Verse 9, 35 verse 9. Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel. So if you ever wonder where this word Israel comes from, it was a guy. Jacob was his name. God changed Jacob's name to Israel. And that's where we get the people of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, then Jacob. But Jacob and Israel, the same person. Just a little trivia there. It's not trivia, but if you didn't know that. Your name is not Jacob. Your name shall be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel. Also God said to him, now this is God speaking to Israel. His name's been changed. I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. Now, it alarms people a little bit that Jesus, for instance, showed up on the planet and started using phrases like before Abraham was, I am. That stuff made people crazy nervous because it was blasphemy. It was a man claiming to be God. Well, God's been claiming to be God for a long time. And without, you know, I'm not trying to get shot or assassinated or something, and please don't take this wrong, I'm a narrowist. That isn't even a phrase, but I'll say that's what I am. I'm a very narrow-minded person. And from what I can get from the scriptures, there is no God but the God of the Bible. And you say, well, you're not going to be politically correct. What about all these billions of people who believe all this stuff? The story I use on this, if I told you, if I said, you know what, forget Jesus, forget El Shaddai, all this, I tell you what, let's be a duck church. Okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to get some ducks, really nice ducks, and we're going to start praying to ducks. Okay? And we're going to worship ducks. That's our deal. Everybody in, all in the duck church, you know, show up here next week. We're going to be the duck church. We won't hunt them anymore. We won't eat them. Have all these things we'll come up with. We'll start a duck religion. You go, well, you're crazy. Nobody's going to join a duck church. But it's interesting, if somebody starts something that seems crazy, if you get enough people believing it, then you say, well, that must be true. A lot of people believe it. You hear what I'm saying? Just because a billion people believe something doesn't make it true. The number of people who believe something is not authentication for something being true. Everybody get this? So somebody makes some up, names some God, and says, well, this is the deal, and I got this book, and here's the story, and here's what we're going to do now. You get enough people buying in. Well, it's got to be legitimate. There can't be that many people deceived. Yes, there can. And God, this God who is the God, says about himself, I am God Almighty, the only God. Don't apologize. You don't have to be mean about this. But when someone says, well, I believe there are many gods, you say, you know what, with all respect, however I can say this as gently as I can, there are not. There is one God. And he doesn't have a bunch of names other than the names you find in the scriptures. You say, well, you're not going to have many friends. I'm not trying to make friends. I'm trying to keep people out of hell. Because you're going to be a whole lot more upset with me and us if we don't speak the truth and you end up in hell. You'll curse me in hell for not cutting to the chase than making you being politically correct. Go to Exodus chapter 6. And this one is interesting because sometimes God shows up and you don't know he's shown up. Exodus 6, look at verse 1 and following. Then the Lord said to Moses, Moses enters the picture, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand he will let them go. Talking about the deal, let my people go, the Exodus getting out of Egypt. Let my people go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. I appeared as God Almighty, so sometimes you may feel the presence of God. And I think if I sat a show of hand and say, have you ever been in a church or in a situation where you're like, man, I just felt like God was there. Something was up. I didn't know who it was or what it was, but I knew it was real, and I didn't know how to explain it. You might find out later that that was literally God showing up in your life, intervening in your life, maybe saving your life, and then you get a name for him. It is the Lord. It is the Lord God who shows up. So anyhow, this thing, Almighty God showing up there again. Go to Exodus 15. Let's just go with verse 1 and following. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains are also drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue and I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. And then verse 11, the question, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? And look at this, little g gods. There are gods out there who claim to be gods. They are not the big G God. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. Good God Almighty. There's a story. 2 Samuel 7, go to that one. 2 Samuel 7, verse 18 and following. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me this far? And yet this was a small thing in your sight, O Lord God, and you have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come. Is this the manner of man, O Lord God? Now what more can David say to you? For you, Lord God, know your servant. For your word's sake and according to your own heart, you have done all these great things to make your servant know them. Therefore, you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. Job 11:7. And it's just one verse. You'll have to go back and read everything around this. This is what he says. Can you search out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limits of the Almighty? Now, here's one of the things. I don't think I dread this, but I think I know this is going to happen. We're going to get to heaven, and it's just going to be this holy cow. Well, maybe not holy cow. Maybe holy God. You know, we'll get a glimpse of what might have been possible if we had only believed. Like God says, well, I gave you these talents. I gave you this much giftedness. And you did this much, but man, if you had just asked, this was possible. If you had just tried, this was possible. If you had just trusted, this could have happened. You were only using, what do they say? Most people only use, what, a tenth of their brain? Is this correct? And unfortunately, I think as Christians, we may only use a tenth of the faith that we have and don't even give God a chance to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ever ask or think. Way more is possible. You are dealing with an almighty God. That means he has all might, all power, can do whatever. And I think somewhere in the equation, you say, well, God's going to do what he's going to do anyway, right? I do think there is some correlation between our asking and things happening. Psalm 86, verse 1. Now listen to this. Bow down your ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am holy. Interesting thing here the psalmist says, I am holy. You ever tell God that? It's true. You say, well, I don't live holy. That's not the point. He has declared you holy. If we would remind God while we're praying that we are holy, we might actually live holy lives. You don't believe you're holy. Well, I know he said that, but I don't believe that. And that may be why we get away with so much junk. Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Rejoice the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift my soul. For you, Lord, are good, back to this good part, and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like your works. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name, for you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your mercy toward me, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, the proud have risen against me, and a mob of violent men have sought my life and have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. O turn to me and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign for good that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed because you, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me. You say, well, I don't know what to pray. Pray that. You wake up some morning and say, well, I just don't know what to say to God. Then get your Bible, open it to Psalm 86 and read it to him. Say, God, he said it best, I'll say this. You can't go wrong reading scripture back to God. Now I'm going to take a minute and read you something out of Isaiah 40. Go find Isaiah chapter 40, and we're almost done, almost out of verses. Jump in at verse 12, and look at the imagery here that is used. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Now you think, how many billions of gallons of water on the planet? The imagery here is that God could take his hand and put all the oceans, all the water, and just hold them in his hand. Who's done that? Measured heaven with a span. Now this one, I think it is almost dangerous. I understand the imagery here, but you try to imagine how big God is, you're going to miss it. He is bigger than you're big. But the imagery here is the span of your hand is from the tip of your thumb to the tip of your middle finger. Everybody got that? What it is saying is that basically God can measure the entire universe in the span of his hand. Billions and billions of stars, galaxies. So how big is a God who has a hand that can hold the entire universe right there? And I'm just say this very honestly. I don't get it. If I actually believe that I was praying to a God that was that mighty, that powerful, that awesome, it would change the way I approach him. It would change everything about everything. Because when we see him, new heaven, new body, new everything, you will hit the deck. This is some kind of God you're dealing with. Some of the reason for this message today is I don't know what you're up against or what it is you think ain't going to happen. You got a house to sell, you need a job, whatever it is. You know what? This is little stuff. The tough stuff for God is getting us to yield our will to his will. And he can rain money out of the sky. He can feed you birds flying. You know, he's done that before. That's the easy stuff. The toughest thing is for us to go to him and acknowledge that he's good, that he is God, that he is almighty, and say, look, I trust you. I believe you can do what you say you can do and that you are who you say you are, and I'm going to go with that. And hang in there and wait and trust him and not go to your own devices and get yourself in trouble again. Over and over, he's an almighty God, El Shaddai. What seems impossible with men, nothing is impossible with God. So ask him. You say, well, I've been asking him and I got to know. Well, then ask him if you should be changing your ask. Am I asking for the wrong thing? Is my will completely submitted to your will? Keep going. Measured heaven with a span and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure. Measured the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him in the way of understanding? There's nobody. Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn. And Lebanon back in the day was like a forest. Cedars of Lebanon, I mean, it looks desolate there now, but there was a day when it was just forest, thick forest. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beasts sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare to him? The workman molds an image, the goldsmith spreads it with gold, and the silversmith casts silver chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution, choose a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted, scarcely shall they be sown, scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth, when he will also blow on them and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble.
There's more to come with today's message, but first, let me tell you about something very important to us. If this program ministers to you or helps you, we're asking for your financial input and help to not only keep the program on this station, but also to expand to other stations. We hope you'll call us and come alongside this ministry to be a part of something that we feel God is doing. Just call 214-954-0000. 214-954-0000. Or go online to reunionchurch.org. Now, let's go back to Richard and have him wrap this up.
Keep going. Look at verse 25. To whom then will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their hosts by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? Now, this is not just these people saying this. People say, God has abandoned me, forgotten me. He doesn't know who I am, where I am. He doesn't have a clue what's going on with me anymore. Ever feel that way? Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? It's not fair. He's not doing anything. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. You say, well, young people don't understand this. Even young people get tired and give up and say, I can't keep going. I can't do this anymore. I can't fight this anymore. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. He's good. He's God, and he is almighty.
Thanks, Richard. And thank you for listening today to the Reunion Church radio program. To get a free CD of today's message, just mention the date of this broadcast and call us at 214-954-0000. That's 214-954-0000. Or you can go online at reunionchurch.org. Even though the CDs are free, we would like to say thank you for any financial support you can help us with to underwrite the cost of bringing the program to you each and every day. Reunion Church is located in downtown Dallas, so if you're in the area, we would love to have you come by. You can get directions, information, and even all the radio program archives at our website, reunionchurch.org. Or remember, you can call us at 214-954-0000. And just to hear from you what the program has meant to you would also mean the world to us. Take a minute to call us at 214-954-0000. Remember, you're always welcome. And thanks for listening to Reunion Church.